This meeting to order. Welcome. Order of business as per the agenda. Sorry, there are declarations. Apologies from Councillor Bennett, Coventry, Devinck, Montgomery, and Young. Any declarations of interest can be given at any time. We'll move on to public reports 4.1, commercial operations. Trevor Docherty standing in for Ricky Moffat today.
Right, thank you, Chair. We'll just go through the quarter one performance report that you've got in front of you, just highlight some of the main points in there, and then if anybody wishes to ask questions after that, if I can respond to them, I will. If not, I'll refer them to my colleagues. The waste management, as you can see, that has been delayed, and that's been due to issues with Brexit. My understanding is that the funding is in euros, so that has created some issues with the banks. So that's it is targeting still the end of September. Road services, as you can see, we're still a lead authority, and we've got the new weather contract with the Met Office. We have completed an audit of the decriminalised parking, and an update report was presented to Council in August. Travel and fleet services, 4 new electric vehicle charging points have been installed at the rear Fairfield House for use by council vehicles, and one public charging point is still there. The £73,000 grant that has agreed by the Scottish Government for further electric vehicle charge points will enable us to put a further public charging point next to the bowling club at Dalkeith. We'll be putting another fast charger and rapid charger up at Sheriff Hall, and the intention is to install another one at Midlothian Community Hospital. As it stands at the moment, these will all be public access charging points, and if we've got any funding left over, we'll see if we can do any further on that one. I had a graduate on a 12/16 week placement doing some work for me on fleet utilisation, higher vehicle usage and other staff travel issues. From that, a report has been done. We're currently analysing that report with a view to looking at ways of making far more efficient use of our fleet, making sure that we utilise it in better ways, and that utilisation, that report, will also be used as part of the discussions we're taking forward with colleagues that's working on the development of the new workshop accommodation. Landside and countryside continues to accommodate a high number of work placements, and these work placements tend to be the most awkward to place kids and young adults, so that continues to work, and my colleagues in Land Service continue to do that. Park improvements, Hill Park, Gala Park and Gore Bridge are now substantially complete, and a number of projects are underway to provide out-of-door play space areas, as you can see in the report. The processing, going on to emerging challenges within waste management, the processing of the blue bin recycling material, as colleagues will be aware, there was a problem there, and continuing discussions with Viridor to review and explore options of moving forward. And the contractor for residual waste, we're progressing with that on a short-term tender to take us through to 2019. The waste solution to meet the Scottish Government recycling targets, the preferred bidder for Zero Waste Scotland, is now forecast for early September. Apologies for that, I've missed that one. And the refurbishment of the Pennycook Community Recycling, final planning approval is currently being sought. Alvin Hall Bridge parapet, as people will be aware, that is now back open again, but it's operating under traffic lights, and that's expected to last probably another 7 weeks at the moment. Landscape substantial work has gone into preparing the four existing sites of Vogrie and Kings Park, Dalkeith and Springfield Mill, and we have been awarded five flags for the existing sites. And progress to reinstate the area work done at the landslip at Iron Mills has worked due to go on site, and my understanding is the tender has been approved for that, The contractor has been approved for that. I haven't got any other more comments to make, Chair, but if anyone wishes to raise any questions on the specifics within the PI summary or any of the things I've made, please feel free to do so.
Thanks very much, Trevor. Are there any questions for Trevor? Joe?
Yeah, Trevor, could you expand a wee bit on the point two, the waste management? You said something about Brexit. I didn't quite catch you there on how that affects us.
My understanding is that the way that that was being funded, it was being funded by five different banks or four different banks or something, the way that the funding was being sought. And my understanding is that due to Brexit, there was that because of the way that the euro has changed, that has meant that because originally, my understanding, and I can only comment on the understanding that was made reference to me in a short conversation, was initially there was four banks, but the contractor was wanting five, and that now has now been resolved, and they're now targeting the end of September 2016. But it was because of the value of the euro, because the banks are funding it in euros, obviously the change in the euro has created a slight delay, so we're now talking about September.
Brian.
Midlothian Explorer, the tourist timetable bus. You're saying it's disappointing. Could you elaborate a bit further on what is disappointing? And also, there's been a change in the pricing policy for the £5 all-day ticket. I believe there's cheaper options available on the bus. On the Old Gala Park, I was up there last Friday at the official opening of the park in Arneson. Just any plans for a waste bin or waste bins on that particular site via the council? I'm particularly concerned with the entrance area as you come into the park. You see that seems to be one thing that's glaringly missing from the area. And on your travel and fleet on item four, you mentioned where you're putting the electric charging points in. It says in the report Newton Grange, but you never mentioned Newton Grange in your comments.
Yeah, I'll take those in reverse order. In terms of the charging points in Newton Grange, I didn't make any reference to the charging points at Newton Grange. What we're looking at is if we've got funding available, we will put charging points in at Newton Grange at the Mining Museum. There currently is charging points down at Newton Grange Station. We haven't got any funding at the moment for any additional charging points to go on. My preferred location for a charging point, if we were going to put one in at Newton Grange at this stage, would probably be the Mining Museum, to encourage people going to the Mining Museum. But moving forward at New Battle High School, there will be two double-headed charger points going in there, so there would be potential for four charging points up at New Battle High School. The rollout of these charging points is obviously dependent on funding being made available from Scottish Government. I have requested further funding from them to see if they've got any slack in it in the money they've issued to local authorities at the moment. If we get more money, we will get more charging points in. In relation to the waste bins at the park, I'll refer that to Justin from Land Services and my colleagues in Waste and see if they can progress that, and we can get back to you on that one. In reference to the hop-on, hop-off bus, take your comments on board in regards to that one. There has been a change in the ticketing policy. Originally, when that bus was envisaged, after long discussions with members of the Midlothian Tourist Forum, we had to make people aware that the vehicle was, or the route was, certainly for many parts of the route, was operating against a commercial operator. So we had to ensure that we weren't seen to be subsidising that route in any way. As members will be aware, we're not allowed to put in any subsidised service that would detract from a commercial operation. So that was the reason why the fares were set where they were. We did take some discussions and we did take some soundings from Lothian Buses, and we did reduce the price to match what Lothian Buses are currently charging. And that's where we are with that. It hasn't gone off where we would have hoped it'd like to have gone. It was already, right from the outset, it was said it was going to be a trial. Trials failed, and decisions will be taken when they want to carry it forward.
Any other questions for Trevor? Jim?
Just a quickie. It's on the Elgin Hall Bridge issue. I know there you're talking about what will be ongoing to repair the structure and to allow Scottish Water the opportunity to repair the adjacent pipe bridge. In the past, we've had problems with Scottish Water and other utility companies and the time it takes them to actually carry out contracts. Is that work? Have they agreed the time scale for that work? You know, and it's no likely to delay the eventual reopening of the bridge.
My information is that it shouldn't, but I will check that up for you. My understanding was that it was the parapet that was damaged. There were services on the bridge, but the damage to them wasn't minimal. But the damage was actually the parapet, if we remember. Parapet was struck and stonework was damaged. I'll speak to Neil Dougland Rhodes, but my understanding is that the services are still in place. But I can check that for you.
It's really just about... I wouldn't like us to get into a situation where we were able to just fix the parapet, but it was delayed because Scottish Water weren't getting their act together in terms of getting their bit done.
I'll follow that one up and get back to you, because my understanding is that all works out. What we're being advised is that all works will be completed within, it was 8 weeks when this report was initially done. It's down to 6-7 weeks now. It's operating under traffic lights, and the intention is the bridge will be fully open at the end of that period. So my assumption is that all the utilities will be involved in that.
Any other questions for Trevor? OK, Trevor, thank you for coming along today. We'll now move on to item 4.2, Finances and Regulated Services. Gary.
Thanks, Chair. The report's laid out in a fashion you'll be familiar with. We set out the strategic focus of the service, that delivering change across the council, really to make sure we can be in the best position possible to deal with the financial future that local government in Scotland, never mind the council, will have to face. In the first quarter, we've had successes over a number of strands of work. Continued success in terms of financial stewardship and financial sustainability, with the accounts complete, small underspend, and lots of work completed in terms of the integration of health and social care, the joint boards, delegation of resources. Indeed, we now have the conclusion of the audit complete for 15-16, and the audit certificate and the auditor's report will be at audit committee next week. Continue to support transformational change. The biggest sort of event in the first quarter of the year was the review of pay and grading, securing council approval, securing a collective agreement with the trade unions, and we're now in the implementation phase, ready for 1st of October. We've continued to have a lot of success in supporting various services to deliver change, particularly in children's services and customer services. We've been recognised by the Keeper of Records in terms of some of the best practice work we've been doing around record management and in preparing for the papers that we're preparing or required to prepare for the historic child abuse inquiry. And that's something that probably come to members' attentions over the coming months in terms of the potential impact of that and the wide-ranging nature of the inquiry. In terms of digital strategy, we've had significant refreshment within schools and introduced our service now, a new in-house service desk to make dealing with queries from customers better. And we signed off the SWAN contract to give us more resilience and future-proof our network. And that's a network internally that covers some 80 sites. And that'll have particular improvements for schools in terms of their resilience and bandwidth capacity. In terms of procurement, very early on in the year we secured living wage accreditation and went through and began the process of rolling out or securing the employee benefits programme that we'll introduce through a company called Eden Red. If we turn just quickly to challenges, no surprise, money, I suppose. The challenge of addressing the expected financial position for 17-18, and we'll bring our report back to September Council. The position is very uncertain and will continue to be uncertain across the autumn period. I'll update Council more on that on the 27th. We continue to try and drive transformational change to take resources out of the business and also to support new initiatives around GIRFEC and named person legislation. So a lot of work going on in the background to make sure our business systems, applications and our business processes are fit for purpose and will support what the Council will need. Continued investment in the digital assets and continued focus on providing security of our digital estate in terms of we've got quite a robust process to avoid or to reduce the impact or the likelihood of digital threats and continue to focus on that. Clearly, having got a collective agreement on low pay, a lot of work going on now to implement that for the 1st of October to make sure that the paydays on the 27th and 28th of October, our employees will get their salaries and wages on their new earnings, that we'll have rolled out the employee benefits package so they can start to access that, and we'll have the new policies rolling through. We've also, over the first quarter and over the summer, changed occupational health provider. A number of members will have been familiar with our old provider, OSAS, that was based with Fife Health Board. We've now moved to a company called People Asset Management. We received a presentation from them at the Leadership Forum last week. So it's a step change in what we do and a sort of an alternative approach, which is promising in terms of how we can support those employees that need the support. The sort of strapline that I picked up on from the provider was, we should aspire to a workforce that is here, healthy and happy. And, you know, in those three words sort of summarise what we would hope that PALM would help us deliver. Is there anything else? I think that's probably a pause there, Chair, and happy to take any questions.
Thanks, Gary. Questions or comments? None? Okay, thank you. Gary, you're hoping, eh? You're last man standing, you're doomed. No, you're doomed, it's okay. Right, lads, ready? Gary.
Thanks, Chair. As always, I'll go through the summary report and highlight the areas feels correct. First off, under property assets, we have sold Cockpen Centre after a bit of a protracted negotiation there, but we managed to achieve a higher disposal figure than we anticipated, so that was good news all round. The new Central Energy Efficiency Fund, which is just come out this year, we've managed to get a fair share of that, and that's been implemented through carbon reduction initiatives throughout the Council's portfolio. Within facility services, just to highlight, we've had some success in our traineeships there. We've had 6-month work placements as well as SVQ level 2s and professional cookery courses going on, and seeing great success in adding to the workforce as a result of that. The cleaning and caretaking contract that we were endeavouring to secure with Melville Housing Association at the Corn Exchange has materialised, and we've managed to secure that work within the existing workforce and creating an income stream there. In sport and leisure, the Community Sport Hub Awards, the first ones that we've had, took place up at Last Wade, and we attracted an audience of over 100 for that event. Very successful evening. Throughout the summer, you'll note there in the remainder of that passage, a plethora of summer activities with various new sports and initiatives that we're trying to introduce, including walking, rugby and partnerships with Upbeat Dance and the Active Schools teams, for example. In building services, the 5-year business programme ahead of us has been set out now, and that takes the SHQS work through and past 2020. We have a budget of £60 million, which takes us right through to 2035 to maintain the properties at the appropriate standards. The Bright Sparks facility was completed and handed over to the client during this period successfully, and also the school building programme was set up and now complete successfully as well. That was a school maintenance programme through the summer. The school building programme for the five sites that we've been delivering at Gore Glen, Bilston, Roslyn and Paradise, plus the high school at New Battle are well underway, two of which we've actually handed over during this quarter as opposed to the report at Gore Glen and at Bilston. The emerging challenges, one or two to highlight here, in property assets, the improvement to the workshop units that we've got throughout Midlothian, we've got an improvement plan and we're preparing to utilise funding that we've got in the property investment account, having taken that account and challenged what the money was being used for in previous years, so it's been put to good effect there. As I've said previously, the CEIF fund, we've got that challenge ahead of us of now completing the works that we've allocated the budgets to. But that's a success story rather than a particular challenge. Within facilities services, the summer maintenance programme was a challenge to us, but I happily say that that's now complete. Sport and leisure, the fitness trail at Bonnie Rig, whilst it was a challenge just to make sure that we got all the pre-tenders returned and assessed before we finally get that on site, that seems to again be coming to a head, and hopefully we'll be successful when it's finished off. The free swimming, it is a challenge, because what happens there is that we give out free swimming instead of taking an income stream, so we've got to try and fill the income stream to bridge the budget gap there. Just to give this committee a flavour, we had 7,500 swimmers during the summer period, and that equates to £15,700 of income that we would have had. However, the feeling is that with the encouragement of people using the swimming pools, then we'd hopefully see a continuation of that pattern into the school season. As I say, the other initiatives that I've previously highlighted are initiatives that we're trying to attract through other sporting avenues to maintain the footfall. And then finally, in building services, the future housing sites has been a challenge for us. We obviously have a limited number of available sites for us, and we're trying to make the best use of what we have in that asset bank. But there is a council report that's to follow this, and hopefully we'll make the September council to give a flavour of where that is going. I'll pause at that, Chair. Thanks.
Thanks, Gary. Comments, questions? Jim?
Just on the swimming thing, Gary, you were saying you had 8,500 visitors over the summer period taking advantage of the free swimming sessions. And that's led to £15,700 loss of income. But would you have had the 8,500 visitors if it hadn't been free? I mean, how does it compare with the previous year, for example? How many visitors did we have over that period of that kind of age group? I would just make that kind of comment. What was the other one I was looking for? If I can find it. No, I'll come back in if anybody else wants to, once I've found what else I was going to say.
Okay, it was 7,500 that we had through the door. But you're right, I mean, would we have had 7,500 if we hadn't made it free? Probably not. I would expect the numbers to be lower, and certainly the pattern of previous years was lower than that. However, those that we would have had didn't pay for it this year. I don't think that's a bad thing, I have to say. I think it's a good thing. I think encouraging anybody to use their swimming pools is great, because it means that hopefully they see swimming as an activity they want to continue, and then we see that into the autumn and school sessions as well. So, and of course, we do see some adults coming with them, so we get the benefit of the adults coming in whilst the children go free.
Yeah, I think on the free swimming, Gary, it would be helpful actually to have the income from the pools for last year compared to the incomes for the pools for this year, so as we're measuring like for like, because for every child or a couple of children that went along, there's likely to have been maybe a paying adult going along. There's areas that we can't equate to where there'll be additional income, and that'll be for folk who've maybe not been swimming for a while that have started, that come back, as you say, folk using the cafes, using the vending machines, etc., and maybe seeing other services that they maybe want to use in places like the Pennycook Centre or the Last Wade Centre, and undoubtedly when the New Battle Centre comes in. So it'd be handy if you could actually give us the what was the income for adults and children last year and what it was this year, because we'd like to sort of see not just the children's lost income, but what was, is there an extra income for adults accompanying the children that are paying. Jim, did you want back in?
Sorry, I did have another question that just slipped my mind. And it's one I've asked before, Gary, but it's about maintaining a level of 100% of our housing stock meeting the SQS. And when I challenged that before, what I was told, there are exemptions, because I raised the issue of Middleton in particular, where we've not got the ability to put gas in to these properties, and therefore I didn't think we were able to meet them. And I was told at that time that there was exemptions, right? So it wasn't really 100% of our housing stock that was covered. Now it's turned through refusal of entry are classified as exemptions. Does that mean that we've resolved the issues in areas like Middleton or not, or are they still covered by exemptions?
No, it is still a fair point. And if you look on page 42 of the report, we actually have taken on board your comments previously and noted the exemptions are reflected in the figures there in the detailed part of the report. However, you're right, it's not just all about refusals. It's a combination of refusal entries and the ability to turn the heating into what we need.
Brian.
Yeah, just want to comment on the swimming as well. There's that many hidden benefits to the health and the social aspect to that. It's a service that can actually be put in statistics, but sometimes you know, it's good to have that kind of proactive service and policy as well. My point on Insurance Central energy efficiency, there's a fund there. Doesn't he tell me the size of the fund and the criteria for the fund? But just the basic question would be on: is it purely insulation, or could it be used on project work like solar power and the other forms of efficiency that could be generated? A question on the Cockpens Centre, maybe you can't answer it, but you're saying it's over the market price, but was there not a lot of that ring fenced for the Bright Sparks project anyway? So how much over budget are you talking about? And if it's subject to planning approval or something, just you don't need to comment.
On the funding for the energy efficiencies, we've got several different funds going on. The CEF fund, as referred to in here, is for one strand, which isn't the insulation programme. That's to do with things like the energy management controls we have in each of our buildings. So you currently have the management controls within the confines of the school. What we're trying to do is make that remote from that, so they have a remote ability to monitor and what they do. So if somebody's leaving the heating on overnight regularly, that can be cut out, and the lighting, we can monitor all that separately. So it's a protective or preventative measure that we're trying to take towards our carbon reduction there. The HEAPS fund, which is the one about the wall insulation, we have been again successful in getting an additional set of funds for that, and that continues on into this year in the locations where we're permitted to put the insulation in there. Cockpen, when I say it went over the income that we expected, I can't remember the exact figure, but it was thousands of pounds over, not tens of thousands, but thousands of pounds over it, and that was put back into the pot, which was allocated against the Bright Sparks facility that we were constructing.
Any other questions for Gary? Okay, the afternoon session seems to come to a halt very quickly. Thank you for your attendance.